From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
Isn't that like the Lord? God puts me into a waiting season that sometimes is a little hot, and I'm grumbling. Okay, Wayne, let's just kind of... Little too much of self still in there.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Today, part two of a message we began yesterday, a message entitled A Season of Waiting. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was getting ready to give us three things we should do during times of waiting, three things that will help us redeem the time. Let's pick it up right there. In fact, let's back the tape up just a minute or two to kind of give you a running start into today's message. Here is Pastor Wayne with part two of the message, A Season of Waiting.
Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you're a single parent. And you look at your young elementary kids that have 10 years more of school in front of them. And you're a single parent now. And you're looking at it like, man, this is like 10 years of hard labor. Maybe you're in a job that's not your heart. And you're in a season of waiting. How in the world do you redeem those times? What do we do during this time? What is God expecting us to do? Let me give you three things that will help you to redeem this time to make sure that we prepare ourselves for the fruitful season up ahead. Here's three things that I do and that's helped me during these waiting seasons to prepare my heart for what God has in this next season. Would you write down waiting seasons or seasons of, would you write number one, repenting and quick forgiveness? You see, because sometimes the reason I'm in the desert or the reason I'm in an extended waiting season might be because I've somehow marginalized myself. Maybe I've isolated myself, burned a few bridges, made a few errors and decisions. And I've held things against or burned some bridges with, and you fill in the blank. And the Lord is saying, Wayne, during this season, when you thought you were some high mucky muck, now you realize that you ain't and you're isolated in the desert. Now, what do you need to do? And the first, he says, repentance and quick forgiveness. You see, it was the psalmist David who was in the desert, and he was in a waiting season. This is what he did. He didn't start blaming. He lifted up his hands and said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there's any wicked way in me. Is there anything in me, Lord, that's causing the season to be extended in any way? Search me, O God. And know my heart. You know, Jesus was about to go to the cross. And he was speaking to his disciples. And he said, the devil is on his way. Do you know that? He's going to try to take this season and use it against us. To discourage us. To depress us. To dishearten us. But then he said something really cool. Let's read that scripture. Go. I will not speak much more with you. For the ruler of the world is coming. And he has... nothing in me. In other words, the Lord is saying, you know what? The devil's going to try to take this time of silence, waiting. He's going to try to use it, put his claws in it, and use it to discourage you. It'll cause you to flail around, to get frantic, to get panic stricken. The devil's going to come and try to use it against you. But he says, don't worry. He has nothing on me. In other words, he said, my heart is clear. See, there's nothing the devil can grab onto. Because sometimes I'm marginalized for some reason. Because I've held something against, or I've done something against. And when the enemy comes, he'll be able to cause guilt to condemn you. Because you did this, you did that, you did this. Yeah, I know. And depression sets in, disheartenment sets in, disillusionment sets in. So the very first step is simply repentance and quick forgiveness. Nothing there. Devil has nothing to grab onto and use as evidence against us. There's a clean, clear heart. And the very first thing is, Lord, would you search my heart to make sure that the devil has nothing on me so that I can with confidence wait on the Lord. When I was a youth pastor, Anna and I were living in Oregon, and if you're a youth pastor, you're poor. I mean, you poor. You're really poor. And we had nothing. It was a scanty house, not much in it. And we came home one day, and someone had jimmied our back door and broke into our house and rummaged around looking for stuff. But you see, I felt real bad for the thief because I was a youth pastor. I don't have anything. So he looked through my drawers and bibbidis or whatever and then left. I think he left really discouraged because we didn't have anything. I think he even left me a sympathy note and $5, you know. It just felt so bad for me. And I kind of chuckled with my wife and I said, it's all right, let him come in. He should have come in when we were home. At least we could have made something for him, you know, like food. And I thought, Lord, that's how we need to be, huh? When the enemy comes in. During this waiting time, Lord, help us to make sure that our hearts are clean so that when the enemy comes to discourage and disenchant us, he has nothing on us. And then the Lord says, and then quick forgiveness. Quick forgiveness. Would you write in the bullet there, the quicker you forgive, the more quickly you heal. Now, this is going to be a real important point. The quicker you forgive, the more quickly you heal. You know, let me say something about how important it is not just to forgive, but to forgive as fast as you can. Forgive as fast as you can. Why? I'll tell you what. Sometimes I think forgiveness, if I forgive, you better be deserving of my mercy and my forgiveness. And the Lord says, no, don't think that way. Yeah, but he's not worthy of my forgiveness. Don't think that way. It has nothing to do with the person who messed up and sinned against you. Well, what does that have to do with? It has to do with you. Well, what do you mean, me? For example, now watch very carefully. I'm going to give you a word picture. If someone puts a scalding hot iron and throws it and I catch it, and it starts burning and singeing my flesh. I can smell the stench of burning flesh. Ow, ow, ow. What? You idiot, did you know that this was going to burn me? Why did you put this in my, ow, why'd you put this in my hand? Ow, boy, you stupid. Ow. Look what he did, look at him. Can you believe that someone who said, ow, ow, someone who said he was my friend, look what he did, ow, ow. 1 year later, look what he did, look, look. You understand? After 1 year, the Lord says, will you drop that? He don't deserve for me for drop these. Just drop it. Well, if I drop it, does that mean that I'm endorsing his sin and letting it go like it's no big deal? No, just drop it. 1 year later. Okay, I'll drop it. And when you do, your hands fall off at the same time. Then you look at two stumps. Ah! Look at him, how stupid. Look at him. He burnt my hands off. The Lord, you know what he's going to say? He didn't. You did. See, it's easy to blame others. And when it just destroys our family, we say, he did this. No, no, no. You did it because you didn't have or understand the importance of quick, immediate forgiveness. Oh, yeah, you can hold on to it, but you understand how deep the burn becomes and how long it's going to take you to heal and the therapy that's going to require. Now, you can blame the other person as long as you want to. But the Lord is saying, I gave you a gift of healing to protect you from the woundedness that comes from sin, because the wages of sin is still death. That's a principle. But you don't have to hang on to it for a year before you let it go. Repentance and quick forgiveness is so crucial and critical for us to be a people of wholeness so that we can be fruit-bearing rather than trying to heal up our whole life and trying to undo things that others have done. The Lord is saying, by this is my Father glorified, John 15:8. But by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And so one of the things that's so important is during the season of growing, repentance and quick forgiveness. And then, would you write in number two, you say, but what if this is not really where I want to be the rest of my life during this growing season? Ah, well, during that season, would you please write, excel with joy, which means bloom where you're planted for this season. If you're flipping hamburgers, be the best hamburger flipper in the world. If you're stuffing cotton and aspirin bottles for some factory, then be the best. Whatever it might be, excel with joy. Oh, but most of the time I grumble. Listen to the scripture. Let's read it. Go. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Would you underline, so that when you've done the will of God? Oh, man, I wish it said this. For you have need of endurance, for after you have grumbled enough, you will receive the will of, receive what God has promised. Oh, man, I'd love for it to say that. For after you have grumbled enough, then you will receive what was promised. Boy, if it said that, I'd fulfill that scripture every week, wouldn't you? But the Lord said, no, 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 no. You see, during this waiting season, we can either grumble or say, Lord, what is your purpose? What's my assignment during this season? Or I'd like to do, but during this season, what's your assignment? Can I encourage you to do this? Write them down. God might say to you, during this waiting season, I want you to develop your gifts and contribute in a place of ministry. Begin to give your heart into something that will have eternal results. I want you to begin investing in that. Some, the Lord might say, I want you to invest in who you are, your personal hygiene, your weight, the way you think, your attitude. Write that down. Others, God might say, I want you to work and deepen your devotion. Don't just do it in some perfunctory way. Begin to do a deep sense of devotion where you learn to hear my voice every day in your devotions. Take time. And during this, do you understand how we can then redeem that season? Otherwise, we'll grumble. See, God doesn't want us just to serve him. He wants us to serve him with joy. Let's read Deuteronomy 28. Go. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your, oh my goodness. You know what he's saying? If you don't serve God with joy, oh, I serve God, but I kind of grumble, then it's going to work against you. It will, as was the case of Manel. Manel left work one day to go be with his wife to shop with her. But he didn't like shopping because he just had to wait and wait. So he finally comes together with her at a shopping mall and he's waiting on the bench in the mall. And she's shopping. Patiently, he waits for 1 hour. Then impatiently for another hour. And he's stomping his foot and he's mad looking for his wife, can't find her. And finally, she's in this one discount store and he's waiting and waiting and waiting. Come on, come on. She's just a minute, I'm checking out prices. And so finally, he gets so upset, he gets an idea. He sees this, you know those little photo booths you put a coin in, you sit on a little bench and it takes four pictures of you in a little strip. He decides, I'm going to go in there, put some coins in, and I'm going to make the most ferocious, angry, upset faces I can, four of those, and I'm going to give that to my wife. And so what he does is he goes in there, and as it clicks, he just, and it comes out, and he writes the name of his wife in the back of these four ugly pictures that shocks even himself. And he takes it to the check stand lady, and he says, you see that woman there? When she comes and checks out, I want you to give her these pictures of her husband, and I'm going to go back to work. Because he figures if one picture is worth 1,000 words, four is like a lecture. So he goes back to work. And his wife sees those, and she decides, I know what I'm going to do. She put it in her purse. Now, whenever anybody asks if she's married, she says, yes, and here's my husband. You see, it'll always bounce back at you. And the Lord says, I don't want you just to serve me. I want you to serve me with joy, to excel where you are. Because it might be in the midst of that waiting season, the Lord is building character qualities that you've never built. And the Lord is saying, try it, practice it. Because then you'll have, would you write down number three, the result of contentment with humility. Contentment with humility. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. The psalmist David says it this way in Psalm 16:6. Let's read it together. Go. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful. You know what that means? You remember those pixie sticks or pickup sticks? put it on a table like this, and you let it go. And it falls in disarrayed patterns. And your goal is to pick up these sticks without moving another one. Now, when it falls in this disarray, you know what it means? It says the psalmist David is saying, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. In other words, the circumstances of this season of my life, although it might seem in disarray to another, I believe that God is in control, regardless of how it looks. And this is what the Hebrew says. I am satisfied with the way God is treating me during this season of my life. Do you understand that sense of commitment? Even though it might not be what I would like in my flesh, I am satisfied or content with the way God is treating me during this season of my life. Whether it be my finances or who I am, I'm going to find out what God has for me during this season of my life. Write it down so that after I've done the will of God, I will receive what was promised. No, not grumble. I'm content. And there's a sense of humility. When you can get that kind of contentment, let me tell you what humility is. Humility doesn't mean a guy who has nothing, so I'm just a worm, I'm just humbled, I'm humiliated because I got nothing left. No, no. Humility is not like that. When you have contentment with humility, understanding God's ways, here's a better definition of humility. Would you write down in the bottom? Humility is the gentle bow of a branch that's laden with fruit. Humility. Well, it doesn't mean you're nobody. No. Some of God's greatest men are the most humble. Greatest women are the most humble. And what is that? Humility is the gentle bow of a branch that's laden with fruit. People who have come through waiting seasons with joy. And that's what God wants for each of us, to excel with joy. Now, let me finish with a story of a potter that was known to be able to make the best vases ever. And with modern technology, they would have these little temperature settings and timers on the kiln or the oven into which they would put these vessels that will need to be baked and fired. But he came from the old school and he didn't have all of those nice things. He just learned to make the vessels just by intuition when it's ready to bring out. And so one of the students said, but how do you know without the timers and without the heat sensors the exact moment to get these vases out? Because you see, if you pull them out too soon and there's water content still within this vessel, it will be ruined. Or if you leave it in too long, it'll cause the vases to get overheated and it'll become brittle and they will crack. How do you know, they said, the precise moment when that vessel is ready to be taken out? Well, he said, the way I do it is I put the vessels in the kiln. And just from experience, I know about this time it should be ready. So I take them out. And then, he said, I thump one of these vessels on the rim. And if I hear a thud, then I know there's still water content in it. And I put it back in and close the door. And then a little while later, I take it out and I thump it. And if it's still thud, then I keep it in just a bit more. But when I take it out and I hit it and it sings, bing, then I know it's ready. And I thought, you know, isn't that like the Lord? God puts me into a waiting season that's sometimes a little hot. And I'm grumbling. And he pulls me out and he thumps me on the head. How you doing? Okay, Wayne, let's just kind of... little too much of self still in there. Gonna burn that out just a little while longer. And then he pulls me out and he thumps me. It's his fault. It's his fault. Okay, back in there again. And then finally, in that moment of waiting, I say, you know, Lord, it ain't others. Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Let this time burn all that crust out of me. And Lord, your assignment during this time is that I empty myself of some things and get better, huh? And I haven't been using this waiting time well. I've been squandering it. I've been just biding my time, waiting for it to finish, rather than doing the will of God in the midst of it so that I won't just grow old, I'll grow up. Lord, thank you for this time. I will be about my Father's business. And then at that moment, the Lord takes me out and he thumps me on the head. And when he does, I sing, hallelujah, or whatever, I don't know, you know. And then the Lord says, you're ready. A new season has begun. And that's the kind of people we want to be. Amen? Let's stand together. Thank you. Would you bow your heads with me as we conclude in prayer? Lord, there's a bunch of us, I think, in the midst of waiting seasons. But they're not like bad seasons. They're barren seasons. They're purposeful. For those who wait upon the Lord shall gain new strength. I think a lot of times, Lord, we come through those seasons weaker sometimes, because not because the season was bad, but because we didn't steward it well. Lord, would you help us to be a people wiser in this way? Help us to write down what our assignment is during this time and to cling to you. And there's some of us here, Lord, that you've asked to let go of the bar, let go of certain things. And we're flailing around, saying, I'll let go, but... And then we get into this panic strike. Lord, help us to trust, absolutely trust, that the catcher will catch us.
How could I but love you, my Savior and my God? How could I but serve you when on the cross you were the servant of all? And how could I but follow you when all your ways lead to freedom, freedom and life?
Let's sing it together.
How could I but love you?
Oh, you're my Savior.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled A Season of Waiting by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Until the same time next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.